Welcome back to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Let's talk more college basketball with Jarrett Sutton, former Mizzou basketball player, currently an analyst with SEC Network, and NBA scout. Hello, Jarrett Sutton.
Morning, Stephen. How you doing?
Doing very well. Who are you? Update us on some of the work that you're doing with your scouting right now. What are your some of your assignments?
Yeah, so I am really just project to project, like I've been doing over the last few years. But this year, I've been doing more trips with actual teams. So a representative from different teams. I've been able to work with the Grizzlies mostly at the beginning of the year on scout days and pro days, things of that nature. Did a couple projects at the beginning of the year. Now I'm doing some more work with the Dallas Mavericks, who I worked with before in the past. Just kind of getting ready for this summer, which should be a pretty big draft with a lot of, I think, impact players for the next level. So it's exciting time. This is when all the prep work and all the real work goes into it. And then once you get towards the combine, you start just kind of tightening up the screws. And then, you know, you should have a good idea of what the board's going to look like come June.
You know, you've also done some games for Mizzou women's basketball, and yeah. I mean, that's a special season right now, and they beat the defending national champs, South Carolina, and their coach went crazy on the refs and everyone else. That was interesting. But, I mean, Mizzou's got a real shot to do something special this year with one of the best players in the nation, Sophie Cunningham.
Yeah, and, you know, she came back against South Carolina and was outstanding. She missed one shot the entire day. And, you know, I called their game against LSU the game prior, which was it was the Thursday, and they lost. It was a close game down the stretch. They didn't have Sophie, and you could tell they missed her. But I think when Sophie went down, it was a chance for different players to step up, and one of those was Amber Smith, who had a career night that night, and then she followed it up with a double-double against South Carolina. And Stephen, you know, this Mizzou team beat South Carolina a year ago, which I think I think Dawn Staley still thought about that loss quite a bit heading into their game over the weekend. But this game was much different than the win Mizzou had last year. This year, Mizzou led wire to wire. They were in control the entire day. And as I said after that game, I mean, Sophie Cunningham, it's time for her to get the national credit that she deserves, because we know her on a local level. I think the SEC obviously knows what she can do. But from a national perspective, she's got to be right there in the running for player of the year. I don't know if she will get it, but she needs to be in the conversation. She had 27 points, 7 assists on one leg, and she was 9 of 10 from the field. She took 10 shots in 30 minutes. So the efficiency, her ability to impact the game on both ends of the floor, and how she carries this team on and off the floor, just with how she carries herself. She's very charismatic, loves the game. I love how hard she plays. And if you get a chance, and you have a daughter that's interested in women's basketball, you need to take her to Columbia and watch this team, watch how hard they play, and watch how Robin Pinchin coaches this team, because they're destined for some good things. We'll see how they go. They got to stay healthy, and the SEC women's basketball slate's going to be pretty tough. So we'll see how they fare, especially when they get into SEC tournament play.
Yeah, 15-2, 3-1 in the SEC, a real shot to do something special this season. Now let's transition over to Mizzou basketball. We'll all see Mizzou go to Arkansas tomorrow, 5 o'clock, in what should be an interesting game, because Mizzou's coming off a double digit victory over Georgia. And Arkansas, well, they were throttled by LSU in Arkansas. So what do you expect from this matchup?
Yeah, Arkansas struggling. You know, they've lost three straight, and they lost to an LSU team at home, by 21 points. And you know, Will Wade's done a really good job at LSU. They're no joke. And this league, Stephen, is so much better. You know, when you look at Missouri's schedule moving forward, after Arkansas, it gets, you know, even tougher. I mean, the slate ahead for them, obviously they play Georgia, they get a good win, but then they come home, they host Tennessee, they go to Texas A&M, who was supposed to be atop the league. They're 0-4 and trying to find some answers, and then Auburn, Mississippi State follows. But, you know, this Arkansas team, they're built and obviously played for Mike Anderson. I know the style of play that they play with. It's controlled chaos. They want to press, but really their biggest key and the biggest area that they're struggling with defensively is they're not protecting the rim at all. So what I look for this game, Missouri's going to get so much pressure. Arkansas's going to press. They're going to throw different presses at them. Missouri's got to be strong with the ball. And we've seen, you know, in games past, Missouri struggle with turnovers. I think they've been better for the most part in taking care of the basketball, making good decisions. Jordan Geist, I think, is improving. He's had hiccups, but he is now the starting point guard. They lose Blake Harris. He's got to be the guy. They need great minutes from Terrence Phillips. Obviously, a lot of confidence Terrence Phillips needs to bring to the table. But I think that, again, you look at Missouri in this game against Georgia, and I think what I really appreciate about this team and what Konza's doing is the identity piece. And the identity of Missouri basketball is what they do defensively. And you saw that against Georgia, holding Yante Maton at 2 of 8 from the field. And Yante Maton is a top 25 wooden watch list guy. And so for Missouri, guys like Jontay Porter, Jeremiah Tillman staying out of foul trouble, obviously getting the ball inside, letting these guys go to work, spreading the floor, spacing the floor, which Jontay can bring. And can't say enough about how good Jontay Porter has been. We saw it against Georgia. We've seen it in games past as well. So what I look for in this game is you can expect a ton of pressure from Arkansas. And Arkansas is going to be very, very hungry. Because Mike Anderson, obviously the losing streak, that's not going to sit well with him. Their practice is probably going to be relentlessly tough, and they are going to press and pressure Missouri and try to get that fatigue factor. And Missouri's got to stay smart. I think the biggest piece, too, is Jeremiah Tillman staying out of foul trouble. He's got to be important. And then Jordan Barnett has got to continue to keep the foot on the gas. He is Missouri's probably most complete player outside of Jontay Porter. Those two guys, and then Cassius Robertson. What a lift he's brought shooting the basketball. He's got to be really effective, and he's got to show his senior leadership, especially late. Missouri's got a lead. I'd like to see Cassius like he was against South Carolina, where he gets the ball late, he takes ownership, he goes to the free throw line, makes free throws, and lets the ball come to him and really demand the ball. I think if he does that and then Missouri plays their style of play, they'll be okay and they'll win this game.
So this SEC is really difficult to handicap right now. I know it's only, 3 or 4 games in, depending on the team, so we'll have to wait to get a clearer picture. But two of the teams you mentioned, Arkansas and Texas A&M, I think most of us expected to be toward the top of the conference, are off to horrible starts. What do you think of the top half of this league right now? Do you think that we have a picture of who those teams are, and where do you think Missouri can fit into that?
Well, it's a great point, Nate, because you look at Auburn right there, top of the league. They're 15-1 with a 3-1 in conference. They were picked to go 4-14. So just the transformation that Bruce Pearl has made in a short amount of time to get Auburn to where they're at. They're a tough team, and they got a lot of depth to them. You thought Alabama's a team that you circle too, that was supposed to be atop that league. They're 2-2. But they're a team that's got Colin Sexton, who's one of the best point guards in the country. They're right in the middle of the pack. So, when I look at this league, right now we're talking 7-8 teams from the SEC have a legitimate chance of getting in. Mississippi State's 13-3. They haven't really played anybody in non-conference play. They're 1-2 in league play, but they got the Weatherspoon brothers who are fantastic. And I think Corey Weatherspoon is probably going to be, or excuse me, Nick Weatherspoon is probably the better of the brothers. So, you look at these teams, every team is different, but every team, you look at Tennessee, they've been nationally ranked early in the year. They gave North Carolina everything they could handle, probably should have won that game. And yes, Texas A&M is the team you circle that really is head scratching. Now, DJ Hogue has been suspended twice. That's a big piece of it as well. And also, Admin Gilder has been hurt. And they struggle with point guard play. They struggled with guard play last year with turnovers. So they should get those two guys back. And obviously, Tyler Davis is a big key for them. Tyler Davis, their offense goes through him. He's been up and down. And Nate, you look at Texas A&M, and you look at I think their style of play, how they defend, they're just not getting it consistently enough. I had a chance to speak with Isaac Chu, their assistant coach, and yes, they've missed their guards, they've missed DJ, they've missed guys that they really count on, but they shouldn't be where they're at in league play right now. It's really head scratching. So, but I think you look at this league as a whole, it's still open. It's still a race. It's still January, we got a lot of basketball to play. And for Missouri, there's still this conversation of, is Michael Porter going to come back? And that really is a legitimate question. Is he going to come back? Can he really help this team? For Texas A&M, Robert Williams was a guy that was going to be a top 10 pick last year. Now his production isn't near as what it was a year ago. He's still shooting 60% from the field, but he's a guy that probably should have left last year. And now he keeps falling because you look at the guys atop the board that are really impacting the game of college basketball. A lot of those are from the SEC. So this league is good. It's got a ton of talent. And I think the biggest understatement of this league is the coaching is terrific. Will Wade, coming into LSU, great coach. Konzo Martin, look what he's done with the Missouri basketball program. You know, you got Auburn turning things around with Bruce Pearl. There's good coaches in this league. Obviously, Rick Barnes is one of my favorite coaches. Look what he's doing at Tennessee. It's an identity that I think this league is getting better and it's getting more respect, which I think is really going to help them from a strength of schedule RPI once March Madness hits and once that NCAA tournament and the field is released come March.
All right, let's play in for Jarrett Sutton to get him ready.
All right, the Sunflower Showdown.
It is the, Nate says, the Sunflower Showdown. We think it's flower. We're not sure. But Kansas and Kansas State, 11 a.m. tip-off. Jarrett, as a former player, would you like to take part in an 11 a.m. tip-off against your arch rival?
Absolutely not. 11 a.m. games are the worst. Whether you're favored or whether you're the underdog, it just you don't have normal shoot-around. You don't have your normal pregame routines. You try to make it you try to simulate it as best you can. A lot of work is done, will be done tonight as far as prep, walkthrough, things of that nature. I hated 11 a.m. tip-offs. You just didn't know. You had to bring your own energy. And obviously at Allen Fieldhouse, it's going to be a ruckus crowd. The crowd needs to be involved. I watched the game against Iowa State. I've watched some of the KU games in the past. And their fans, they give them an energy. That's the key. That anytime Kansas is down, anytime Kansas is struggling to make baskets or an opposing team is going on a run, their crowd is such an advantage for them. And the crowd needs to be at its peak tomorrow in Allen Fieldhouse. And look, it's a big game for KU because they got West Virginia staring them in the face on Monday, and you don't want to look too far ahead. But that's going to be a bigger game for them. They're looking for 14 straight. They got to go to West Virginia and give Morgantown all they can handle. So this game's important. It's going to be about guard play. Obviously, Kansas State, without Camus Stokes, but Barry Brown went off against Oklahoma State, and he looks improved. 38 points is no joke. He probably should have 45. Didn't make free throws. Xavier Sneed's got to be a factor. Dean Wade, inconsistent. I think that the factor in this game is Dean Wade and Sui Mikailuk, because Sui Mikailuk played very well against Iowa State. He's been inconsistent. Obviously, he shoots the ball really well. Malik Newman has 27 points. What type of Malik Newman are we going to see moving forward for Kansas? If Malik can play consistent basketball and give this team 15 to 20 points a game, that's a huge win for them. So we'll see what takes place. But I like Kansas in this game. 11 o'clock tip-offs. If K-State can come out of the chute making shots and Barry Brown is ultra-aggressive, this is a big game for Devontae Graham to defend and see Mikailuk and Malik Newman to really impact the game. And how about LeGerald Vick? LeGerald Vick has been somewhat of a no-show the last couple of weeks, and he was very good early on in non-conference play. He is a double-digit freak athlete. He's got to be more of a factor, too, for Kansas on the offensive end. He's got to be more dialed into his jump shot and look for driving lanes. Him and Devontae both got to start attacking more and getting to the rim. I thought Devontae played really well against Iowa State, passing the basketball, had 9 assists in that game. Even though he didn't shoot it well, he still impacted the game in other ways, which is good to see.
I've been really looking forward to asking you this question, Jarrett, because I think you have a good perspective on it. I think that Kansas plays in some ways very similarly to your Missouri team that, you know, had those epic games against Kansas and ended up as a number 2 seed in the NCAA tournament a few years ago, in that it was a four-guard offense with one, you know, true low-post player. And I'm just going to assume that Kansas isn't going to get these two big guys because until we hear something, this is how they got to play. They are finding a way to win games. They're shooting very well, but they're getting crushed on the boards. They're giving up more possessions per game almost every game out, even to teams at home against like Iowa State. A team playing like that, you know the challenges of it because you've been on a team like that. Can a team playing like that win a league this tough?
That's a good question. It is a very tough league. Obviously, looking back on my team in 2012, we were undersized. We had a rotation of about 7 or 8 guys. And, Steve Moore was kind of our Mitch Lightfoot, if you will. Mm-hmm. Steve did a great job defensively, taking charges, blocking shots, and really focused in on his assignment. And the thing about our team in 2012 and why we were able to win 30 games was the attention to detail and the focus every single possession and not worrying about offense, not worrying about who was scoring the ball, not worrying about what our efficiency was. It was a team focusing on your assignment, on your job, every game, every practice. And it bled over to scout team, too. Our scout team obviously trying to simulate games and really trying to prepare our guys as best they could, knowing what they were going to get every game, especially in Big 12 play. And Big 12 is always a dominant league. It's always the league that's the top college basketball. So to answer your question, the Big 12 championship runs through Lawrence, Kansas. It's still Kansas's title to win. Now, this year's going to be the toughest challenge that Bill Self has had when you talk about trying to go for 14. This league is West Virginia's tough. Even when you talk about TCU, I thought Kansas going to TCU and playing really well and getting a win was good, because TCU is Jamie Dixon is a fantastic coach. I don't know if you had a chance to watch Texas and TCU, that overtime game. It was fantastic. And good for Texas to win that game. But I think for Kansas, it really centers around Devontae Graham and Steve Mikhailik. Those two guys are experienced. Those two guys have to lead, and they have to be able to defend consistently and rub off on other guys. So, because I think with Kansas, the focus on the defensive end, it's tough to go rebound when you just expect Azubuike to get every rebound, and that's not fair for him. It's got to be all five guys committing to the glass, not leaking out, checking out, blocking out your man, taking it on yourself, guys, score. That we used to always yell at each other, my man's not going to score, and it was ownership. It was knowing that I don't want my man to score because I'm letting the other four guys down. Is that taking place in Kansas' huddles, in Kansas' locker room? Obviously, Bill Self's one of the toughest coaches in the country. He demands defense, and he did talk about how his team was playing soft. I think they've been a little bit more physical in Big 12 play, but they got to close possessions with rebounds, and especially with teams that shoot the three-point shot, and this league has a lot of good shooters, long shots, long rebounds, and sometimes their guards do not block out. They stare, they ball watch, they turn their heads, they get cut, and Kansas State is a team that will cut. They'll move, player movement, the ball doesn't stick with them, so Kansas has just got to be more engaged, because they are a little bit more susceptible since they don't have that size and they don't have that depth on the interior.
Jared Sutton, are you going to go to Arkansas?
I wish. I was going to. I'm going to be staying around Kansas City this weekend, I think, so no trip to Fayetteville this weekend.
Because you go everywhere, it seems like. You go to the bowl game, you went to bragging rights, you go all over. You're a man that you were at Chiefs Broncos. You, ladies and gentlemen, and you know what? He deserves a round of applause. A true. Not only does this man work hard as an NBA scout and an SEC network analyst, you are a true fan. You were one of the few people that did the doubleheader he attended with his nephew, both the soul-crushing loss to Florida by the Mizzou basketball team, and he was in the crowd for the Chiefs' loss to the Tennessee Titans. Ladies and gentlemen.
Wow. Glutton for punishment.
But you did it.
One of the more darker days in my sports career, I guess you could say. Nothing's going to top one loss, that will always be thought about in the NCAA tournament, but This was up there. It was.
You're trying hard to erase it, aren't you?
How did that young man? How did that young man take those losses that was with you?
Well, my nephew's 10.
Mm-hmm. Start him early,
right?
It was exactly, and he had only been to one Chiefs game prior. But I thought I surprised him. I got two tickets, and I thought, man, it's gonna be the big day, right? It's me and my nephew. We're gonna experience a Chiefs playoff win.
You see it all, boy.
In Arrowhead, it's his first playoff game. But now we have, the meltdown to talk about. But he was good in it. The hard part was is teaching a 10-year-old about officiating and not blaming a game on an official. But it was so tough in the Mizzou game and the Chiefs game, because you could tell he understood what was going on. He got all involved and pretty heated about a couple of the calls in the Chiefs game as well. So it was a good learning experience, and I had to really stay focused after the game, because there were some upset Chiefs fans, so we were trying to get out of there as quick as we could.
What you should have done is you should have given me a call, and I would have brought my 14-year-old Phil. We would have met in the locker room and all, maybe kind of given him an introduction to what the rest of his life is going to be. See, this is what it's like, Mizzou and a Chiefs fan. You like that? Welcome to our world.
Yeah. You might as well learn early.
Right.
That's right. He had a great time, though. He got to meet several of the Mizzou former players. It was alumni weekend against Florida. So that was good for him to meet Brian Grauer and Justin Gage. And he got to participate in some some kid stuff in between a TV timeout. So he had a great day. It was a ball. It was a ton of fun. Memorable experience, but obviously not the outcomes we were hoping for.
Right. But you know what? You've recovered. You've bounced back. Not only did you endure the losses, you were there. You were at both of them. And someday, Jared Sutton, there's going to be a payoff. I don't know when it is. I don't know if I'll be in the ground. But if you're still living, if you're still kicking, please attend all those games for me that at some point they're going to win. All right?
I hope so. I sometimes think I'm the curse, right? I mean, it starts off so well, and then it's just heartbreaker.
No. Hate to break it to you, Jared. There's nothing special about you, man. We're all in that boat, buddy.
Right.
But
thank you, sir. May I have another?
Jared did reach out to me this week, Stephen, to back up my point about the importance of fit, like with Mark Davis in a suit, right, yeah. Jared?
Absolutely. You know, it's all about the comfort, all about how you feel in it. That's right.
Like Mark Davis reached out to both of you guys because he's the trendsetter, not you. You follow other people.
That's true.
Mark Davis marches to the beat of his own drum. I can promise you that right now.
Jared, have you considered maybe wearing a suit with just like a really, like a three-quarter sleeve?
Short sleeve suit. Yeah. That's all. It's very simple.
Yeah, when I heard short sleeve suit, I was like, I don't know if that's my type of game. I don't know if I can pull that off.
No, there's one guy that can pull off a short sleeve turtleneck a la Mark Davis. It is the one and only Jared Sutton. Jared, have a fabulous weekend. Thank you so much for the time.
All right, guys. Thanks for having me.
That's Jared Sutton. You know, people, hey. The
best.
Hey, Uncle Jared's taking you to two games today. Come on over here. Uncle Jared's got a surprise for you, boy. He's going to take you to Mizzou, Florida.
That poor kid.
And then you're going to hop in the car, you're going to race down I-70, and Uncle Jared's going to take you to Chiefs and Titans, huh? How about that?
Thank you, sir, man.
Come on.
Thank you, sir, man. Have another.
I don't think I want to hang out with Uncle Jared anymore.
I hate
Thank
Uncle
you, sir,
Jared.
Man, have
right. The worst.
Trust me.
Oh,
yeah,
what a great thing for an uncle to do, and then it just turns out to be.
Even I know better than that. Though.
You should have seen the look on Phil's face on Wednesday when I'm hollering up at Mizzou. Come on down here. Why? You're going to watch the Mizzou Georgia game with me. And he looked. He kind of.
Damn it, Dad! You're going to do it to me again.
We couldn't go to the Mizzou game, but we watched. He looked at me. He goes, "Are you sure?" And he's like looking like real skeptical. All right, I'll come down here. Yes. Get down here. And then they won. See? You bounce back.
It happens.
Reboundability. Back after this on WHB.